Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed for the do-over. You know, God gave us a new day, which means it's a do-over. Today will be better than yesterday. We have to declare and decree some things in our life. Today will be better than yesterday. Today will be better than yesterday. Repeat after me. Today will be better than yesterday because God is in it. And when God is in it, there is no limit to our peace and to our joy. Hallelujah. Today's word is kind of a mixed bag, I guess I could say. We are coming out of 2 Kings chapter 7 and 8. Today is Psalm 72, chapter 72, verses 8 through 16, and our proverb is chapter 18, verses 12 through 13. And our Old Testament word is dealing with famine, dealing with unbelief, murder, but it also deals with restoration. It deals with restoration. The Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst. The Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst. We are always going through something in life, but I know without any doubt that God sends a blessing when we go through. He never forgets his children. And all we have to do is stop, stand, and believe that God will bring us through. He will not bring you to it unless he brings you through it. I will trust in the Lord today. You know, I don't know why this song just always sticks in my mind. And it's, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I was on YouTube one day, and this song popped up, and the pastor that was singing it, he had enthusiasm, you know, because when I've heard it in certain churches, it's kind of a, woke up this morning with my mind, real drab and kind of like, you know, laid back, but he had that, I woke up this morning with my mind, and that just did something to my spirit. It made me want to dance right along with him. Because he was, it was like, I got joy in my heart that I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. We got to have that in our spirit. We can't be all drab about God. We got to be excited because God is good and his mercy endures forever at all times. And so let's get in our word. Father God in heaven, I am so thankful that I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm so excited that I woke up this morning knowing that I had you in my life, Father God. Father God, I ask you to lead and guide me, that this word will touch a heart, will touch a mind, will touch a spirit, that someone will get something out of it, that they will know that you will never leave us or forsake us, even when we're going through the mist. For you are God and you are great and greatly to be praised. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer, and I am your humble servant. Use me, Lord, as you fill me up with your word through me, that someone will hear your voice. In Jesus' name I pray, thanking you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it, for I am your servant, I am your daughter, and I trust in you. In the name of the matchless Savior, my brother, my friend, my Savior, whose blood covers me, from day to day, through all the things I go through, from the good, the bad, and the ugly, I know that I am covered by the blood, and that's why I can have joy in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We got to have the joy, joy, joy down in our hearts, knowing that the Lord God is with us. The enemy will come at you, but I tell you one thing, the Lord God has always placed a standard around his children because he knows who we are and he knows us by name. Hallelujah. Our Father God, by name, he calls us. He walks with us. As I say, he walks with me. He talks with me and he tells me I am his own. We cannot let the enemy take us out of our square because that's his job. To push you out into darkness, but God is always there to give you a lamp and a light in the midst of the darkness. Hallelujah. Thank God today that he woke you up. Thank God today that he gave you a new day. He gave you a do-over. Hallelujah. We're going to shake off all that other stuff. Shake it off. And we get ready to go into the word. I tell my children's choir, because, you know, sometimes kids can have moments, and I just say, before we even think about opening our mouth to sing a song for God, we got to shake off anything that's on you today. Shake off unforgiveness. Shake off regret. Shake off all the things that are trying to weigh you down, because if they're weighing you down, they are from the enemy. You got to shake it off and say, not today. You are not going to mess with my peace today. And I have to do that every day. Lord, give me strength, because I'm telling the enemy, you cannot mess with my peace today. I refuse to allow you to mess with my peace today. I've gone through like everybody else. We all have gone through. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But one thing about our Father is he picks us up, dusts us off, and gives us peace. Hallelujah. Father God, I ask for peace in the midst for your children today, because we are living in a storm, but we know, Lord, that you are the calm in the midst. Hallelujah. Just feel like praying and just shouting hallelujah today, but God is good. So let's get started. Please join me in 2 Kings chapter 7. I am coming out of the New King James Version of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And for those that are joining us for the first time, this is a daily devotional Bible study. I'm coming out of the Life Principles Bible. It's a daily Bible. If you buy it, it has dates. Today is June the 10th. I'm reading the word from June the 10th. The only time that I deviate from the daily word is on Fridays and Sundays. On Friday, I mean, stay in the Old Testament, and we read all Old Testament that day. And then on Sunday, we are in the New Testament, and we read the New Testament for that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the reason I do that is because I don't do this blog on Sundays. I mean, on Saturdays. Saturday is, I try to say, quote, unquote, my day to rest, but it always seems like I got something going on, so it really is not a rest day. But I try to, in my mind, I say it's a rest day because that's the day I do a lot of things in ministry. So that's why I don't do it. I do sleep in on Saturdays because I don't all the rest of the week. So that's my day to just kind of spend quiet time with God. And I love this thing. I love the word of get giddy for Jesus, because when you get giddy for Jesus, the word of God permeates your spirit. Because anything, and I say this to all of you, anything you're going through, any struggles you're going through, I can guarantee God will have a word for you. All you have to do is trust and believe. There have been times where I've gone through and I said, Lord, I just need a word. And I just close my Bible. And then I say, I need a word. And then I open it. And every time, it's on just the word I need to get through the day. So keep that in mind when you're going through. Close your Bible and just say, Lord, I need a word, and open it, and you will be amazed what God sends you to. So let's get started. Then it said, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two sayes of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing. And when they hid them, then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact. And the gatekeeper called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, please let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them. Therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army. Say, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a sea of flour, of fine flour, was sold for a shekel, and two seas of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Don't mess with a true prophet. When they tell you something's going to happen, you can guarantee it's going to happen. You can, as they say, take it to the bank, because a true prophet tells the truth, and the truth, may you might not like it, but it is what God has to say to you, and all you do is listen. Hallelujah. I love this word. So as we continue, it says, now the king had appointed the officer of whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seeds of barley for a shekel, and a seed of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then the officer had answered the man of God and said, now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he has said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. Don't mess with a man of God. Don't mess with a man or woman of God. Because I tell you one thing, when the Lord speaks, everything the Lord said is what's going to be. And I just have a few life lessons. And again, life lessons are from Dr. Stanley. He will take one of the verses from our scripture for the day, and he will just give a commentary. Some commentaries his, some commentaries mine. But today, the commentary is Dr. Stanley's. And this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. You shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. It is always foolish to question the promises of God. They will continue to be fulfilled, but the doubter may not experience any of their benefits. You know, we better understand. Don't doubt God. If God says, I will provide, you better believe he will provide. If God says, I'm with you always, you better believe he's with us always. Whatever the Lord says, it is true, and it is done. It is what it is. God said it, and I believe it. That's all. No questions. No anything. God said it. I believe it. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse, the Lord has caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of, and let me go back, and I'm going to read that in its entirety. It says, for the Lord has caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. And it says, so this is what Dr. Stanley says, to win a battle or war, the Lord does not need state-of-the-art weapons or massive armies in his hands, even noise, nothing but sound can bring victory. Will we trust him? Come on, y'all. Will we trust God? Yes, we will. I trust him. I believe that his word is true. And, you know, just think about this. He ran an army, a mighty army, away with just sound. And they hightailed it out, leaving everything, they gold, they silver, they clothes, they food, their animals, everything, their weapons, all of it left behind. What a man of God. And it goes on to say, Stanley, this is a life question. What steps can I take when I really need to hear from God? It says, throughout the Bible, we read of prophets and other men and women of God who implore their people to hear the word of the Lord. Obviously, God earnestly wanted his people to hear his voice. He still does. So how do we hear God when he speaks to us today? What steps can we take to make ourselves ready to hear what he has to say? We tend to complicate the process. When we want to ask God what he desires in our lives, we often act as though we would like to receive a phone call from heaven in which the Lord gives us a detailed plan for the next 5 years. In fact, we already have everything we need to discover what he wants for us. Developing daily spiritual disciplines helps us to hear the Lord's voice clearly and seek his direction continually. Ponder the following basic steps you can take to ensure, enable you to hear the Lord when he speaks to you. Read God's word. That's what we do every day. You know, we read the word of God. We come together at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we read the word of God. It says by diving every day into God's word, we begin to see its established order for our lives. We learn about God's truth, mercy, love, and forgiveness. And the next one is seek him in prayer. We got to pray every day. We got to pray through the day. You got to just, when you're just walking down the street, say a prayer. Maybe you just say a prayer for the people walking down the street with you. You may just say a prayer when you're in your car and pray for all the drivers around you. You know, you may just pray when you're going to work. Lord, watch over the people I work with and work for. You know, whatever it is, just pray. You might just be sitting enjoying, just enjoying time of quiet. Just pray. And it says many times bowing our head is the best way to see God's face and hear his voice. In opening ourselves up before the Lord, we can honestly discuss our circumstances with him, listening for his direction as we remain. Prayer is more than just a wish list for God. It's a conversation in which we interact with him. You know, a friend of mine had a medical situation and was in the hospital and said, I had a conversation with God. And I mean, after he got out of the hospital, he just changed a lot of things. He did whatever it was that God told him to do, that's what he did. Because God is always there speaking to us. All we got to do is stop, sit down, be quiet, and listen. So many times we want to tell God what we want and how we want it and this and that, when all we need to do is sit, be quiet, and listen. And God will tell you what he will do. And when I say he will tell you what he will do, he don't play. This is what's going to happen. And everything that God says will happen has happened in my life. Some good, some bad. Some I thought was kind of ugly. But I tell you this, it was what had to be. And, you know, some of what God does when he chastises us is not pleasant. But we got to stop to accept the chastisement and keep it moving and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive my unbelief. Please forgive me if I did anything in thought, in word, in deed that is causing the issues I have. Forgive me, Lord, as I forgive. The biggest thing and the hardest thing for any of us to do is to forgive. And I tell you, it's hard when you know somebody did you wrong to forgive them. But we got to. Because how can we ask God's forgiveness for our debt of sin if we're not able to forgive the debt of sin of others? Because you find out when you forgive, it changes the whole atmosphere of your life. And I'm speaking for myself. I can't talk for anybody else. I can only talk for me. I had to forgive some stuff in my life. And I'm grateful that God put in my heart to be forgiving. Because folks can't handle you when you forgive. Folks think you're going to be mean and nasty and upset and all this, and when you forgive, you can smile at them, and they look at you crazy because they know they done did you wrong. But you know what? I forgave you. I ain't got time for your foolishness anymore. And that's why we got to look at things. I don't have time for your foolishness anymore. I got things to do for the Lord. And go on and do what you got to do. Because you know what? I tell you what, their lives are going to be miserable. And some of them are in the grave right now wondering why they in waiting for the pit of hell. Because of what you did when you lived and how you treated your fellow man. God takes care of it all, believe me. And it goes on to say, so first thing, read God's word. Second thing, seek him in prayer. The third thing, meditate. Dwelling on what God speaks to our hearts is a great way to let him, his truth take root in our souls. Not only will what we read and hear from him impact our lives, but by meditating on it, God has the building materials to lay an unshakable foundation in our hearts. The psalmist said to the Lord, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And that is Psalms 119, verse 99, and I read it again. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And then the last thing, number one, I'm going to say it again because I wanted to get in your spirit, read God's word. Number two, meditate. Number four, listen. You hear with your ears. If you have normal hearing, you can help hearing sounds within a certain audio range. Listening, however, goes further, involving the mind. Genuine listening is active, meaning that it puts the mind in gear, hears everything said, looking intently for the meaning. That's how God wants us to listen to him actively. And, you know, those are the four things that Dr. Stanley says. Read the word of God, seek him in prayer, meditate, and listen. And I just say, do what God tells you to do. Do what God tells you to do. That's mine. That's not Dr. Stanley. That's mine. That you got to read this word, seek him in prayer, meditate, listen. And I say, do what God tells you to do. Chapter 8, Kings. And it says, then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the sayings of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done. Now, it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was a woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left and left the land until now. So again, what was lost, God brought back. God will restore what you have, because what you have is yours, and God gave it to you. The Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst, and he sent a blessing her way in the midst of famine. God sent a prophet to tell her, get up and go. She got up and went. When she came back in the midst of everything that they were going through in Israel, she got her land back. She got her stuff back. The Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst. I thank God for the blessing. And then it says, then Elisha went to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God has come here. And the king said to Azel, take a present in your hand and go to meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? So Azel went to meet with him and took a present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. And he came and stood before him and said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover from this disease? And Elisha said to him, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die. Then he sent his cunt till he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. And Azel said, why is my Lord weeping? He answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. So Azel said, but what is your servant a dog that he should do this gross thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, what did Elisha say to you? And he answered, he told me you would surely recover. But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over his face so that he died and his heir reigned in his place. Now in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Joram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign. Jehoram, the son of, so you have Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised him to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. Again, even in the midst of wickedness, the wickedness of their king, the Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst, and it can be a lamp, a light God will send. I call that light a blessing. That lamp, I call it blessing. And I said he promised him to give a blessing to him and his sons. And through every generation, God brought up a great king, a good king in Judah, who walked the right walk and talked the right talk and believed in God with his whole heart. And as we go through, you will listen and hear of the great king that will come in the day, the lamp, as God called it. And it says, and in his day, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Joram went to Zair and all his chariots with him. Then he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who surrounded him and the captives of the chariots. And the troops fled to their tents. Thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And Lebanon revolted at that time. And do some of those names sound familiar? Because the same stuff is still going on in the Middle East. You still have issues with Lebanon. You still have issues on the Gaza Strip. You still have issues between Israel and Syria. You still have the same stuff going on. And it goes on to say, now the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Joram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Now he went to Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Azael, king of Syria at Ramoth Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Assyrians had inflicted on him at Ramah. When he fought against Azael, king of Syria, and Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. And we will be finishing up that word on tomorrow. Today's lessons are short. We don't have a whole hour. If someone wants to speak, today is a great day for call-ins. The number to call is 213 213-943-3597. Again, the call-in number is 213-943-3597. If God has put a word in your heart to speak, just push the number 1. We are in our psalm, and our psalm for today is Psalm 72, verses 8 through 16. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and all the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all the kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him, for he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight, and he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually and daily. He shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 12 through 13. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers the matter before he hears it is a folly and shame to him. And that is our word for this morning. And a life lesson from chapter 8 is this. 2 Kings 8 and 18. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, the righteous king of Judah, foolishly allowed the crown prince to marry the daughter of one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. All the good he had accomplished quickly came unraveled, because Jehoshaphat was a good king. As we have read in our lessons previously, good king. Who allowed evil to come into his kingdom when he allowed his son to marry the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel? Evil folks in the word. I mean evil. On tomorrow, we'll be reading and talking about the ratchet woman called Jezebel. And as we continue in the life lesson for chapter 72 of Psalms, verse 11, yes, all the kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. One day, perhaps soon, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we're going to go over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. But understand that if I don't feel it's in context, and if God says read more, we will read more, because I believe that every word that is written should be read in context. So many times we get a lesson, we'll hear a preacher preach, and he'll preach one word, and it's one word can change the context of a word of God. And that's why when you read it, read the whole thing. When somebody preaches you a message on Sunday, go to the word of God. After you leave, write your notes, put down the scripture, and go back and read it yourself. Because when you read it yourself, you may find out that's not the context of this lesson. What they preached was totally, no, that's the total opposite of what this lesson was. And I mean, I've done that so many times that I am a firm believer that when you read the Word of God, you've got to read it in context. And when we read this lesson, these two verses in context, you got to start at the beginning of chapter 2. And it says, love, unity, and humility recommended. You know, and then as you go through, it says, imitating Christ is humility. Have the attitude of Christ, depending on what version you read. In New King James, says, love, unity, humility recommended. In New International, it says, initiating Christ's humility. And in the NLT, it says, have the attitude of Christ. Same word, all with a different title. And as we go into that word, it says this. Therefore, and I'm reading starting at verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2. And it says this. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse number 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a word. What a word. And that's why you read it in context. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we know that and do that, we know everything else is going to work out. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Life lesson. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Beware of the temptation of pride, which is an exaggerated attentiveness to yourself and what you want. God hates pride, and whatever God hates must be eliminated from your life. Pay attention to your thoughts and words. If your speech is characterized by lots of I, me, and my, you're focusing on yourself far too much. Make sure that your attention is centered on God. Wow. And my, we got to watch what we say. If everything is my this and my that, or it's all about me and I did this and I did that, we got to be careful, because that's pride. That's a prideful spirit. So we got to say God's will, not what I want, but what God wants for me. So keep God first in everything you do, family, and know that he is going to always be there with you. No matter what you're going through, he's got your back. He's got your front. He's got you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Keep trusting God. And again, anyone who would like to speak today, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. Push the number 1 if God has a word from you. And again, the word that God gave me this morning is for someone. And it says the Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst. Hallelujah. And before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and let's see what God has put in our heart to give us. And the word from our sister is not here this morning. So I will give Sister Carolyn's word to you on tomorrow, because I don't have it for today yet. Sister Carolyn always has her word, but, you know, we all understand that things are going on. But again, I'll just give yesterday's word one more time. And it's this, and I say this for somebody because evidently God wanted this word from yesterday to go out again today. It says the enemy always fights the hardest when he knows that God has something great in store for you. Just hold on and keep trusting God. Have a wait on God Wednesday. That was yesterday, but I have a trust in God Thursday. And I'm going to read that again for someone. The enemy always fights the hardest when he knows that God has something great in store for you. Just hold on and keep trusting God and have a trust in God Thursday. And know that even in your darkest hour, always has a light and a lamp to light your way. And the Lord will send a blessing your way in the midst. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. That's all I got. And I just pray us out. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are out, and one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Lord God, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I ask God to watch over you, to bless you in your midst, and to let you know he is always there. He is that light. He is that lamp. He is our God, and he's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, but he loves us just like that. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Have a blessed day. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward one more time. And this is the last time. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day. And wait, join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, God willing. I'll be here and we will be in the Old Testament because we're going to talk about that ratchet woman. And her name is Jezebel. Have a blessed day.